Well, thank you very much, Mr. Pippi, and good morning to everyone. I'm going to start today, brethren, by telling you something that I probably would not ordinarily tell you. In fact, it's probably a first for me personally. Over the years, growing up in the church and then the last number of years after becoming a member of God's church, when faced with overwhelming circumstances, there is a scripture in the Bible that I have not historically believed. And we're going to turn there today in opening. And that scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And the reason I want to start there today, because it was only very, very recently, in the past few months actually, that I came to have a better understanding of this scripture and what I had been missing all this time. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if I can find it here, and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except for such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. That word tempted means to be tested or proved. Tested beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. How about you in the face of overwhelming circumstances? Have you ever thought about that verse? When that way of escape doesn't come soon enough, maybe, or it's not the way that you thought would come? Something happened recently. I actually saw something in nature that finally helped me to understand this verse. And I'm going to tell you this little story first, and then we're going to move on to another example from the Bible. A few months back, I was outside in the spring, and I saw this bird outside flying around. This bird, I couldn't see it very well. It was fairly close, but there was something on its back, fairly small. I couldn't see what it was, but I could tell there was something there. So as I watched it fly around for a few minutes, it tipped its wing, and this little tiny bird fell off of the back of this, presumably the mother bird was flying around, and she tipped her back, and this little tiny bird started desperately flapping these tiny little wings and falling like a rock. She let this little bird fall probably 40 feet through the air, and then she swooped down underneath it, and she caught it again on her back. And I watched for maybe 10 minutes, and while I was watching, she came and went to the tree, and she did it 3, maybe 4 times. And then a day or two later, I saw her again, but the little birds were slowly learning to fly. And eventually, I didn't see them anymore, but I did see them twice. The first time, they couldn't fly at all, and a few days later, they were finally struggling, but they were actually flying. So that somehow crossed my mind one time when I was reading this verse in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And I got to thinking, you know, when we go through these trials that are overwhelming to us, if you're anything like me, there are times when you think, you know, I really don't want to fly. I'm too tired to fly, or I'm too weak to fly, or I just don't want to fly at all right now. But there we are. The title of my sermonette today is strength. We're going to turn back to the Old Testament now, back in Exodus. We're going to read about a story of incredible strength and the source of that strength in Exodus chapter 13 and starting in verse 3. And Moses said to the people, "Remember the day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place." Now, if you stop and consider and put this story into real time, and just try to imagine the people, the small guy, the person that's like you and that's like me, that was living during this time, what an emotional roller coaster that time period must have been, from the time that they learned they would be delivered from Egypt to the time that they actually arrived, those years. But in the time leading up to and during the Exodus. Just imagine what would be going through the minds of these people. In verse 10, throughout this story, you see that the Israelites are rendered absolutely powerless. In verse 11, excuse me. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the firstborn. And it goes through, and it's basically just explaining all of these things that they need to do. In verse 13... Sorry, I think I'm in the wrong chapter. I think I need to be in chapter 14. Excuse me. Chapter 14 and verse 10. I didn't think that was quite fitting. Let's go back to verse 10 of chapter 14 now. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, if you consider all the events that led up to this moment, they're walking. They're not through some miracle of God, lifted supernaturally from one place to another. They're walking for days. God is delivering them, but they have certainly had to put forth some effort. And now they come to the Red Sea. They walk through a seems like a narrow passage of basically a cleft or a cliff and some rocks. And they become trapped between the rocks and the Red Sea. You know, if you consider the thoughts of these people as they stand before the Red Sea, how powerless would they have felt? God promised that he would deliver them. The promise was always there. But there they are, faced with unbearable, overwhelming circumstances. And they question God. You know, when we face overwhelming circumstances, it's easy to question whether it is a faith issue or something else. Did they lack the faith? Well, possibly, just like we do at times. But there's another purpose that was being worked out here. He could have easily, based on their faith alone, if they had a considerable amount of faith, then perhaps God would have said, well, I'll just whisk you off and you don't have to do anything. It'll be easy. Could have been easy, but what lessons would have been learned? Verse 13, I've read this scripture before, I think when I spoke before. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. What a statement. That statement can send shivers down your spine when you consider all that was going on. That sea could have been parted when they got there, but it wasn't. They waited all night for it. The Egyptians camped right beside him, and they waited all night long for that miracle to come. And then the Egyptians were destroyed. So could it be that the plagues were a witness to the Egyptians from God, and that the parting of the Red Sea was a display of power and strength for the Israelites? Some important lessons in that story, and many others. What would we have thought? Would we have patiently waited through the night for that sea to part, not even knowing that it was going to? Do we patiently wait to be delivered from the trials we're enduring today, with patience, knowing that at some point that we don't know, something that we are not aware of is going to happen and deliver us, so that the trial that we are seeing, we will not see again no more? There is a day coming, brethren, when we actually will see the end of all of these trials that befall the church today, and the world for that matter. The strength that's required can only come from one place. We can't muster up the strength, and God didn't call us because of our strength. Did he? In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, we don't need to turn there. I think we all are very familiar with the scripture. God chose the weak of the world, the weak and base things, to confound the mighty. He did not call us for our strength, brethren. He called us because of our weakness, so that his strength can be brought into us. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. It's interesting. You start studying the subject of strength, and it becomes very difficult to narrow it down to just a few places to turn to. In Isaiah 40 and verse 29, picking it up halfway through verse 28. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. This scripture, brethren, is talking to us. It's talking to the weak. We are the weak of the world, and God increases the strength. And how does he do that? He does that by the trials that beset us. The trials that at times make us question whether he's with us or we have any faith at all. If we had the faith, we wouldn't be going through this. Well, faith and strength go hand in hand. Perhaps it is not always a lack of faith. Perhaps it is an exercise in building strength. Building holy, righteous character, brethren, takes a great deal of patience and a great deal of strength. For a bird to fly, it must start somewhere, right? And so do we. And we don't go overnight from having little strength to having great strength, to having God's strength, do we? It comes a little bit at a time, and it comes not from us, not because we're strong people, but because we're close to God, and it comes directly from him. And in fact, it's his strength within us. The final scripture, just a small, not really a twist, but another interesting little scripture that if you couple it with the first one that I read, kind of makes you wonder if God had a sense of humor when he was saying this, but there's much more of a lesson in it. Somebody took all the books out of my Bible and scrambled them, I think. They're in different order today. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Ever had days when you question how you're supposed to find joy in the trial that you're going through? In closing, brethren, here's a couple of points to remember. How do you count it all joy when you fall into various trials? Because it proves to you that God loves you. It proves to you that God knows what you need. It proves to you that God knows what you have to learn. And it proves to you where you are weak and where God is strengthening you.